Paul, a great servant of God, told the Philippians in the letter to work out your salvation. This is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Brother David Johnson will address those words on this Words of Life program. We are supported by the prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will hear Brother Johnson in a few minutes, but first, we praise our Lord with song.
There's a church in the valley by the Wildwood, no lovelier place in the dale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church on the Wildwood. Come, 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 oh, come, come to the church on the dale. Come, come. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a bright Sunday morning to list to the clear ringing bell. How tenderly sweet is the warning as it calls to the church in the dale. Come to the church and the come, come, come. Oh, come to the church and the day. Come, come. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. It was here in the church in the wildwood we knelt with our mother in prayer. In the long gone days of our childhood, come and meet her in memory there. Oh, come, 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 come to the church on the wildwood, come. Oh, come to the church on the day. Come, come, come. No spot is so dear to my childhood as a little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the wildwood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from the spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light. Oh, come, 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 come to the church on the wildwood. Oh, come to the church on the vale. Come, come. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you in recognition of your righteousness. Thank you for blessing us with the forgiveness of sin and fellowship through Jesus. We also thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit who blesses our lives. Be with each one who preaches the gospel throughout the world so that souls will be reached for you. We know that you have promised that Jesus will return. Please help us to be ready for this great event. We also desire your healing to be with all those who are burdened with health issues or other needs. Touch their lives, and may each one understand that you have blessed. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Work Out Your Salvation.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God and as we make it our lifestyle, putting the Word of God, incarnating it, making it part of us, and as we share its truth with others. The title for the lesson is Work Out Your Salvation. We're in the New Testament, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Please listen to the key text. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Most people in the world, if they believe in God and heaven at all, usually have decided that salvation needs to be earned. Most people in the world, that salvation needs to be earned, that we need to, or they need to, merit it because they are deserving of heaven, which is absolutely opposite when it comes to the truth. Actually, everybody deserves hell until they're in Christ Jesus, under the blood of Jesus, his blood covering our sin. It's like the Pharisees arguing with Jesus about their salvation. They might state, "We get our salvation the old-fashioned way. We earn it." That's not biblical for salvation. It's like a preacher of grace visiting with a rather self-righteous friend. The friend says, "I'm all right. I work hard. I live decently. And I help others when I can. I'll take my chances in the life I've lived. I don't need your Savior. I think God will not be too hard on me." That is fatal human reasoning regarding being saved. Now, of course, you can do it your way, or you can do it God's way. You have a choice. There are also many people who have read or heard Bible passages that they claim proves that God's salvation is rewarded to people earning or working for it, thereby deserving heaven by their own merits. Our passage is one of those so-called proof texts that allegedly reveals that the source of salvation is by deserving people's good deeds. Let's investigate closely this vital issue, this all-important issue regarding salvation, which in fact is by the grace of God through faith. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, which says in part, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, this may sound like one can be saved by our own works, but that's not what this passage means. It does not state work for your salvation. It says work out your salvation. Work out translates the original Greek that indicates a command that has a continuing, ongoing emphasis. The idea here is to keep on working out to completion, to ultimate fulfillment, the salvation that God has already given to the believer, to the repentant believer, to the repentant obedient believer. It's always a salvation by God's grace, evidenced by the obedience. But it's not the obedience that saves. It's God's grace that saves through faith. It's always a salvation by God's grace, granted by God through faith in God in Christ Jesus. The principle of working out salvation has two aspects. The first pertains to personal conduct, that is, to be faithful, obedient in daily living. This must be the active commitment of the believer. Believers saved by God's grace, empowered by the Holy Spirit, still have a responsibility and accountability to live out lives in a pattern of faith and obedience. The second aspect of working out one's salvation is perseverance of the faithful obedience to the end of one's life. Salvation actually has three time dimensions: past, present, and future. The past dimension of salvation is that of God's justification. When genuine believers have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and were redeemed by God, that's justification. That's the past time dimension. The present dimension is sanctification, which is the time, the process of sanctification, which is the time between a believer's justification and his or her death or rapture. The future aspect is glorification, when salvation is completed and believers receive their glorified bodies. Believers, therefore, have been saved, are being saved, in a sense, and will be saved as they persevere in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ himself stated in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 12 through 13, "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Paul and Barnabas urge new believers in Acts chapter 13 and verse 43 to continue, notice the words, to continue in the grace of God. Paul wrote to the church in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel." God has and always will save souls only by his grace through faith. Nobody deserves heaven. It's only by the grace of God, his favor, undeserved favor, that we have salvation in Christ Jesus through faith. Certainly, even regarding Old Testament saints, this is true. Consider, for example, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, "Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." The Lord credited it to Abram as righteousness. In other words, Abram wasn't righteous in his own life. It was credited to him by God through faith. He believed the Lord. Paul quotes this Old Testament scripture to emphasize salvation through faith, never by one's works or merit. Consider Romans chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. "What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, He had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Again, credited or counted to him as righteousness, which speaks of God's grace. Think of it this way. We believe that God is omniscient, meaning all-knowing. God never makes mistakes. It's impossible for God to make a mistake because he's God. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. Nor does God ever deceive us. Certainly never lie. God cannot lie. Because God cannot sin, being absolutely holy. So God inspired Paul to write in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, nobody can brag about being saved by their own abilities, their own knowledge, their own works, their own merit. Impossible. We might think that we can please God in and of ourselves, our own righteousness, but one sin ruins us. One sin to a holy, holy, holy God. It must be the righteousness that we receive from Jesus, who never sinned, as his righteousness is credited to us. That's how it works. And that's through faith in him and his work on the cross on our behalf. These truths from God are plainly straightforward. Salvation is only, exclusively by God's grace. It's his gift. It's a gift. We don't deserve it, but it's his gift to mankind through faith. Therefore, anywhere in Scripture, which is God's word, God's will, whereby the text seems to be teaching salvation by mankind's works to merit salvation, can be explained always by grace through faith, not works. Always considering the context, considering the content of the text. If this is not the case, then we must admit that God has contradicted himself, which is absolutely impossible for an omniscient, all-knowing God when he has stated through his inspired writer, Paul, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast." There are no contradictions in the Bible, properly understood. God doesn't contradict himself. Godly good works are important, absolutely important for Christians to do, but they are not the root, the source of salvation, but instead they are the fruit of salvation, the evidence of salvation. Because we're saved, we live godly lives. Said another way, because we are saved, we do good works. In fact, this is what the apostle adds in the very, very next verse, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Yet it is only by Christ's work on the cross, and only by Christ's righteousness through faith in him and his work, that believers can be justified before God. We can either do it God's way, or we can do it our way. And our way always condemns. And God's way is salvation." But what about the inspired statement of James? In James chapter 2 and verse 24, where it says, "You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone." This is also not a contradiction. This does not contradict salvation by grace through faith? Consider the context. James chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. James writes, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." The work that James here stated that justified Abraham was his offering up of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. An event that actually occurred many years after he first exercised saving faith, and so was already declared righteous before God in the 12th and 15th chapters of Genesis. So Abraham's offering of Isaac demonstrated the genuineness, the fruit, the evidence of his faith. And so the reality of his justification before God had already been given by grace, through faith, by God. So the conclusion of the matter is, godly works are the evidence, the verification, the validation of saving faith, but not the source of sincere faith. Paul emphasizes the priority of faith. James, the epistle of James, the half-brother of Jesus, emphasizes the proof of faith. Said another way, faith is the force behind the work. The work is the finality of the faith. There is no contradiction. God, through his word, never, ever contradicts himself. The last verse in our main text adds more of God's work. That is, God motivates believers indwelt by his Spirit, empowered and energized by his Spirit, with our cooperation to work out our salvation as God desires. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Listen carefully. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Consider this illustrative aid. A caterpillar is slow and slimy. It may take all day for it to go just 2 feet. But when it undergoes the process of metamorphosis and the caterpillar becomes a butterfly, something marvelous is born. Metamorphosis is the process of something at work on the inside, trying to show up on the outside. Every genuine Christian is like a butterfly, like a butterfly. A Christian may feel like a caterpillar, or even think they look like a caterpillar. But the mandate, nevertheless, is to work out their salvation, even in the midst of adversity. May we all remember that it is God at work in us to do his good pleasure.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes will surely from Jesus apart.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
God has blessed us with an important lesson from his word. We pray that you have a greater understanding of our Lord from what was said. If we can help you by answering questions, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for broadcast number 2344. That's 2344. We look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172. USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.